Hi, you're tuned to Truth News Radio Australia on the 3rd of December 2016. I'm your host, Herewood Fenton, and for the next hour I will be with you. And I'll be investigating today a subject that is pretty huge in the alternate blogosphere at the moment, but I'm going to try and come at it from a different angle. I think I've got some insights that, although they're not directly in line with what you're hearing on this topic, I think they're extremely important and extremely relevant. The topic is Pizzagate. But what I want to do is I want to explore an aspect of it which really hasn't been discussed. Now, for those of you who don't know what Pizzagate is, maybe you come from a distant galaxy or something, Pizzagate is a series of allegations that have evolved out of the hacked emails that were released by WikiLeaks, which included emails from and to John Podesta, an important Democrat and lobbyist for the Clintons, and has been involved in both the Obama government and the Clinton governments previously. And of course, the center of many of the allegations is a pizza restaurant in Washington, D.C. called Comet Pizza or Comet Ping Pong. It's a pizza parlor that also has ping pong tables. And on the surface, it looks like a normal restaurant. And certainly it's popular, and they certainly do serve pizza. But those who were investigating this on blogs and forums began noticing these emails popping up in the leaked WikiLeaks emails, and noticed some odd language, some peculiar language which appeared to be perhaps coded, or certainly not overtly in line with what you would expect people to say if they were talking about a normal activity such as going out to dinner and eating pizza. Now, this led people to look at this particular venue, Comet Pizza, and of course other things started to emerge, such as the bizarre activities that go on there, and also activities related to the Podestas, such as the spirit cooking artwork. And of course, a lot of this led into the peculiar tastes of Tony Podesta, John Podesta's brother, in art, including some strange sculptures and this sort of strange behavior, performance art, we might call it, one of which being this bizarre spirit cooking type activity that was engaged in as a form of art. Of course, we know that that modern art, avant-garde art, is full of this stuff. And it's probably wrong and foolish to just pluck things like this out of context, and then because they look bizarre and because they do have connotations or associations with things that that look ugly, to then build some theory around that. And unfortunately, a lot of people have done that, and it's not really going to be very productive. But then, you know, people kept digging, and they looked into the owner of Comet Pizza, James Alefantis, and some people started looking at his Instagram page. And when you look at the images from James Alefantis' Instagram page, which I have seen, it does actually start to be a little bit disturbing, and some would find it offensive, some would find it disgusting. And this is what I actually want to get into today, because first off, there is absolutely no evidence of any kind of pedophile ring. There are no victims, there are no allegations of specific individuals being abused or trafficked or whatever. There are no investigations, there are no charges. So there is absolutely no basis for asserting that there is any kind of objective pedophilia ring going on in relation to this place or these people. Doesn't say it doesn't happen. We know it happens. It's happened in the past. But that is not a good enough basis to then start making allegations and associations between images and symbols to try and build a theory on. And that's unfortunately a failure of a lot of people who are involved in these kind of conspiratorial modes of thinking, a failure to proceed with empirical processes. And then people say, oh, no, but you've got to keep an open mind. Oh, you know, you're being closed-minded. And then the next thing you know, if you don't go along with what they're saying, they call you a gatekeeper simply because you don't support their unfounded allegations. But anyway, that's actually not what I'm here to talk about today, because there are important things to look at in relation to Pizzagate. And it is important to understand that the information that has surfaced out of this is actually disturbing to some people. And I say to some people because, and this is something I'm going to get into, it's possibly not disturbing to some people. And we need to understand the difference and reasons why some people would find this material disturbing and others wouldn't. And that actually leads me into what is, I think, the important area to research in this, which is that the owner of Comet Pizza is a gay man. And the people that he communicates with on his Instagram page, many of them are gay. And much of the banter that we see on the Instagram page of James Alefantis is actually gay banter. And people who don't understand this, people who don't know the culture, as they say, would look at it and think, well, it's obnoxious, it's obscene, it's weird, you know. And, well, from their perspective, it is. But what I want to argue today is that, in fact, this is perhaps indicative of gay culture. Maybe not all gay people, but it's indicative of a lot of gay culture. Gay culture does involve a lot more expressive talk about sex and, you know, a sort of more uninhibited way of communicating about sex. And also, and I want to get into this in more depth because this is probably the more contentious part of what I want to talk about today, is that there are paraphilic or fetishistic elements to this culture. And it's certainly not unique to gay culture, but and it's very hard to find good research on this, folks. I mean, I spent the day trying to find good peer-reviewed papers, academic research that looks into the prevalence or association of paraphilia or fetishistic behavior with the gay lifestyle generally. It's very hard to find, and I think there's actually been a reluctance of researchers to even investigate this because since the 1970s, homosexuality has been elevated to the status of being completely normal activity, and therefore it can't be described as an abnormality. It was described as a sexual disorder in the first Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders in 1952. But since 1973, homosexuality has been completely removed. And so research that would associate homosexuality with specific forms of disorders or deviance is very, very hard to find. There have been some, but I know there's been a few in relation to pedophilia, and we've talked about that on other shows. I don't really want to go into that topic today too much, because what I want to really look at is this whole area of paraphilia and fetishism, which it's much less controversial. I mean, obviously, to talk about pedophilia, and I certainly don't want to offend any gay people, and I certainly, in this show, I'm not here to judge, and I'm not here to make unfounded allegations or draw connections between one group of people and a behavior that is actually criminal. There is some research that's been done on this that has indicated some elevated prevalence for pedophilic orientation among homosexual people. That's all I can say about that. But, you know, there's a lot more information, there's a lot more freely available information just in popular culture, and just go to the gay Mardi Gras, have a look around. There's a lot more information out there that shows that the tendency towards fetishistic behavior is actually perhaps part of gay culture. And again, I'm not an expert on this, and oddly, it's actually hard to find research on this, but the research of my own eyes, the research of what I have seen in Sydney's Mardi Gras, for example, indicates to me that there is something along those lines going on. And furthermore, the images I have seen from the Instagram page of James Alefantis, who is a prominent member of the community and obviously has a wide network of friends, is well known to be gay, certainly indicates that many of these people, and many of the people who move in his circles, tend to have some kind of food fetish going on. And we're going to break shortly, but when we come back from the break, I'm actually going to describe some of the images. I'm not going to post them on the website because I just don't think it's right. I don't think they're not pleasant images, and you can find them yourself. There are more images, by the way, than what you've seen. If you've only looked at the main websites that are talking about this and you've only seen the images they've shared, do some more research because there's more stuff out there. I think a lot of websites are reluctant to show the more, shall we say, revolting images, because it's bad taste, right? They just don't want to do it. But I'm going to describe some of the images. I mean, none of them are illegal. None of them could be construed as illegal. But they're extremely bad taste. They're unpleasant, and I think you could be forgiven for calling them disgusting, right? So I will get into some of that when we come back from the break. I'm going to now just briefly read you some definitions. Let's start off with a definition of paraphilia. This is from Wikipedia. Paraphilia, also known as sexual perversion and sexual deviation, is the experience of intense sexual arousal to atypical objects, fetishes, situations, fantasies, behaviors, or individuals. Now, paraphilia and paraphilic disorder are differentiated in the DSM. Of course, the DSM being the official manual that we all sort of have to refer to, even though many of us dislike it, but it sort of does represent the state of knowledge within the establishment that is widely regarded and followed by most practitioners of psychology and psychiatry. We're going to break, and I'll continue with more of that differentiation when we come back. You're with Truth News Radio. Great to be with you today. Welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio Australia, and I'm talking about paraphilia and fetishism in the context of Pizzagate. I'm steering away from the wild allegations, the unfounded allegations, the allegations that have no empirical evidence behind them, that there is some kind of pedophile child trafficking ring going on. And I'm just looking at the phenomenology, looking at the actual evidence that we do have. And believe me, it's actually quite interesting, and it's worth looking at on its own merit. So as I was saying, paraphilia is in itself not a disorder, but there is a disorder called paraphilic disorder. And the differentiation between paraphilia and paraphilic disorder is extremely grey, and it seems to be based on the concept of whether this whether this interest or obsession creates distress or disturbance to the point of making a person's life, you know, disrupted. That seems to be one of the key criteria. Another criteria, of course, would be criminal behavior. So people who have obsessions, say in relation to children, who actually act out those obsessions, well, that is then considered to be a disorder. And of course, the phenomenology of psychopathic serial killers has a wide range of paraphilias and obsessions in it in relation to objects, often in the context of committing crimes, horrific dismemberment and various things like that, which are all tied to the fetishes. Now, again, finding balanced academic research into this is difficult because the subject of fetishism has actually been somewhat normalized as well. That there is kind of a tendency now, a trend in the last 20 years or so, to sort of move fetishism out of the category of a disorder completely. And I've read a number of articles in my research where mainstream advocates are saying, you know, you can't even call fetishism a disorder. You know, take that out. Take paraphilia completely out of the DSM. Some people are saying fetishism and paraphilia are different. I mean, I've got another article here specifically on the topic of fetishism. And this is again from Wikipedia, where it says sexual fetishism or erotic fetishism is a sexual fixation on a non-living object or non-genital body part. The object of the interest is called the fetish. The person who has a fetish for that object is a fetishist. And there's one more definition here I want to give you, and this is a term that I had not discovered before, but it's an official word. It's called cytophilia, and this is sexual arousal through food. Cytophilia is defined as a form of sexual fetishism in which participants are aroused by erotic situations involving food. Now, this is extremely important in understanding these images from Pizzagate, and I will get into that. But let's just stay a minute with the concept of erotic fetishism versus paraphilia to try and understand why it is that there is not a consensus. There is not a consensus as to whether this behavior should be considered disordered or not. And yet, when we look at the obsessions of people who have acknowledged fetishes, we look at food fetishes, we look at foot fetishes, and the highly charged nature of people's fixations on things. I mean, you know, people describe having an orgasm just in relation to like pressing their face against a foot. And yet, there is a strong lobby group that would say that's actually not to be considered a disorder. You know, and don't even criticize it. That's just fine, you know, if people want to do that. And again, it's not illegal. It's not criminal. I mean, there are people who have obsessions with amputees and they become sexually aroused at the sight of an amputated limb. Again, it's not illegal. But to say that it's just totally normal, I mean, most people find that just mind-boggling. And yet, there is that element in our society which is pushing for that sort of normalization. And, you know, not surprisingly, the people who push that are also very strongly supportive of the normalization of homosexuality, you know, over the last decades. They were the part of the same people who have, and they're basically saying that that fetishism needs to follow the same route that homosexuality did. It needs to be, you know, delinked from the psychiatric concept of a disorder, and it's just a thing you do. It's just, you know, it's a way of having some fun, right? Okay, now I want to actually get into talking about some of the specific evidence of cytophilia that we see in the Pizzagate images, and I'm talking specifically here about the images that were taken from the Instagram page of James Olifantis. And this was originally a public page, by the way, so I don't think there'd be anything wrong in actually showing these images, but I just find it distasteful, and I don't wish to, and I do think there are things in here that are disturbing, right? And I just don't have any evidence to back up the allegations that are made about it. It's frustrating, isn't it? But let me describe to you some of the images that I've seen that that haven't been talked about on any of the sites I've looked at that are discussing this. There is a sexualization of pizza going on. There is actually a clear sexualization of this food, this food that people eat, and they go to a restaurant, they order pizza. But the people who frequent this venue, the people who are friends with the owner of this venue, are engaged in some form of erotic sexual fetishism in relation to the pizza itself. And that is pretty darn strange. I mean, it's odd, okay? Certainly unusual. I'm going to describe some of the images for you. And I've just got them up here in thumbnails on my screen. So we've got one image of a naked man with a wedge of pizza covering his genitals. And there is a jar of honey sitting next to him, and the honey has been dribbled over his stomach. So that is one image. Again, you know, nothing illegal about it. It's not even pornography. His genitals are completely covered, but it's pretty sick, isn't it? I mean, I think common sense approach to this would be to say it's pretty sick. There's a message being posted next to it on the Instagram page saying, come visit, C-U-M, come visit. And this C-U-M is used again and again in comments on the Comet Ping Pong Instagram page. Sort of banter, sexual banter, but constantly in relation to the subject of pizza. Now, we'll just continue with the pizza images now. There's another image here of two men who appear to be naked. Actually, three men. There's one in the background. And they are seem to be having an orgy, which involves a slice of pizza. And they are basically licking this slice of pizza. And it's positioned in between the legs of the third man. So there's three men, one behind and two on either side, and the wedge of pizza is sticking with its point up, and they are licking that wedge of pizza. Now, obviously, it's a metaphor for a blowjob, and then the message next to it says, we're about to get pounded. Right? So, again, I'm just illustrating that there is ample evidence of cytophilia going on here. There is food fetishism. And we can't deny that. That's empirically proven by these images. We're with Truth News Radio Australia. We're going to break. I'll be right back. We'll be right back. Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. And today I'm exploring cytophilia, food fetishism, erotic fetishism, in relation to Pizzagate. And I want to just continue with a discussion of some of the images that were obtained from the previously public Instagram page of James Alefantis, owner of Comet Pizza in Washington, D.C. There's another image here of a woman. Again, this is actually the first one I've seen that is not overtly gay image. It is a woman, and she has a slice of pizza covering her genitals. So that's just another image, but again showing what appears to be in all of these images, the common theme is that the pizza has a significance, a phallic significance. The pizza is some kind of phallic symbol. And were it not for the fact that the pizza is actually cut into that triangular shape, it would be almost incomprehensible as to how the pizza could have a phallic symbol. But because the pizza is cut into these triangular wedges, that gives you the possibility of a phallic symbol. But it's pretty far-fetched, isn't it? I mean, I would have found it hard to believe that anyone would engage in this kind of mental ideation. Okay, the next one I'm going to talk about is pretty sick and pretty weird. So if you get offended easily, I mean, you know, if graphic descriptions of anatomical behavior offends you, just mute now, okay? Because I'm going to describe another image, and this has not been shown on any other of the websites, but it came from the same group of lifted images from Comet Ping Pong. There is an image of a man masturbating, and he appears to be ejaculating, and there are pieces of pizza half eaten that he appears to be masturbating over or into, or possibly one analysis of this could say that the pieces of pizza are actually being ejaculated. Again, let's not go into it in too much depth. I'm just saying, look, it's there. Again, another text image, text message posted next to it says, "It's beautiful out, come visit." Okay, that's all. I'm merely presenting to you the anatomical and visual identification of this image, which was previously public. It had been sitting on this page possibly for years, who knows. And there it is, it was out in the public. So I'm just talking about something that was out there in the public. I find it extremely weird and extremely sick and extremely yuck, okay? But there we have it. Now, there are more erotic pizza images, but let me actually talk about another image now, which is not directly pizza-related, but again, it's one that I had not seen in the other websites, and it's a little more disturbing in some ways because of the nature of the image. What it shows is a man, and this may be James Alefantis, I'm not sure. Anyway, it's a young man, and he's walking on the beach, and there is a little boy chasing him with his hands out, and the buttocks of the young man are very prominent in the image. And then there are a lot of sexual banter type comments in relation to this image that are making little jokes like ass amazing, that ocean looks amazing with AZ emphasized. And then someone's posted, "That kid's reaction is exactly what mine would be." So it's a little boy, it's probably like a four-year-old boy or something, running with his hands out, and looks like he's maybe trying to grab the man, and someone's posted, "That kid's reaction is exactly what mine would be," suggesting that the kid's going to grab that man's buttocks. So they're sexualizing a small child. Again, this is not proof of anything, and I'm not making any allegations whatsoever. But I am making allegations, I'm making factual observations, and drawing a very obvious hypothesis that there are people in this group who have some kind of sexual fetish going on, food fetish particularly. But then maybe it's not just limited to food. It appears to be there are other forms of sexual activity or sexual fetishism going on. Now, there are other images that most people have already seen, such as the image with a little girl with her hands taped to the table. There's an image of a man kind of engaging in what appears to be tongue kissing with a dog. And next to that, Jimmy Comet, and I'm assuming Jimmy Comet is the owner of this Instagram page. I'm assuming that is James Elefantis. I may be wrong. But he has said, sweet love. He's left a comment next to it saying, sweet love. And this is an image of a man that's got his tongue inside the mouth of a dog. So, again, this is not pizza related, and it's not specifically food fetishism. It's certainly some other type of what we have to call paraphilia. It's paraphilic in nature. There is an image of a man with a panda mask on. And again, Jimmy Comet has posted an odd comment that says, come panda, C-U-M-P-A-N-D-A, come panda. Just a man with a panda mask on. And then there's another image of a tire, a big tire, a truck tire, with hundreds of little pandas inside the middle of it, little baby pandas. And Jimmy Comet has again posted cum panda as a comment, hashtag C-U-M-P-A-N-D-A. And someone else has posted the hashtag panda cumhole. And these are little baby pandas. I don't know what it is. I don't know whether this is actually an overt pedophilic reference. I don't know. It's very, very weird and sick. So I wanted to just describe those images to share with you because I think some of this hasn't actually been properly covered. It just needs to be covered clearly, dispassionately, and as you would, you know, in an academic context. There is another image here that is what looks like a young girl in a beauty pageant. And bear in mind, this takes on a sinister context when we have seen the other images of how pizzas have been clearly turned into some sort of sexualized object. There's an image, and then a caption has been added to the image that says, I could care less about my beauty. I just want my pizza. So, with all of that in mind, ladies and gentlemen, let's turn now to consider the dark side of fetishism, the dark side of paraphilias. We know that in the mainstream, there is an attempt to say, look, fetishes are fine, there's nothing wrong with it, get over it, you're just a square. And yet, the literature of criminology is so replete with examples of sick sexual psychopaths who have always, their crimes has always been associated with fetishism. And I've personally studied people like, in a fair amount of detail, I've studied people like Ted Bundy and Jeffrey Dahmer, a few others. And I know that, I've read some of the actual academic research by FBI investigators and some of this, that I know that their fixations on certain aspects of body parts has always been a very important element in some of the worst crimes that these types of people have committed. So we are going to break. We'll be back with one more segment, and I'm going to play to you an interesting little video clip that talks about some of this psychopathology. Don't go away.
What happens in terms of creating wars is a mind manipulation technique called problem-reaction-solution. And it works like this. And it works like this. First of all, you create the problem, but you get someone else to be blamed for it. You then report that problem through the media in the way you want it reported. You get the public to react to your problem by saying something must be done, this can't go on, what are they?
Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio. And I'm just going to continue now talking about paraphilia, but in relation to psychopathology and more disturbed and potentially criminal type of activities. One interesting point to note is that, and this is from a research paper, I'll be putting the links to this on the website, paraphilia appears to be a phenomenon exclusive to males, with only very few exceptions. Although no meaningful census can be conducted for paraphilic individuals, neither clinics, forensic institutions, nor social clubs for paraphilic enthusiasts report any substantial number of female paraphilics. And as I've said before, the literature on violent psychopathic criminals shows that there is almost always an obsessive sexual fetishist element to the crimes they commit. Ted Bundy had an obsession with hair, and he used to actually shampoo the hair of his victims, sometimes after they were already dead. Jeffrey Dahmer, of course, had an obsession with creating zombies and did strange things with the bodies and body parts. And many of these criminals have an obsession with body parts and sometimes will dismember bodies and then put them back together again. But there is a sexualization. And quite often the literature describes a sexualization of things like stabbing attacks, because there's actually, you know, a symbolic there of a sexual act. So when the violent psychopath stabs someone, there's actually a form of sexual gratification, or all forms of paraphilia. I just want to play to you a quick clip from Sam Vaknin, who's someone who I've represented before on this show. And he's not an academic, but he's very well researched. He's an acknowledged narcissist. He was formerly a financial trader of some kind, and I think he went to prison for a while, but then he's become an expert on narcissism and personality disorders and psychopathy to some extent. I just want to play to you a little bit of a clip of him talking about the sexual fantasy life of narcissists and psychopaths. Here we go.
In his fantasies, the narcissist or psychopath is always in unmitigated control of his environment and the people in it. The assemblages of bodies and limbs which populate his daydreams, his body included, are minutely choreographed to yield maximum titillation. The narcissist is like an exhibitionistic and voyeuristic porn director with an endless supply of well-endowed actors, either cowed into compliance or even craving it. Naturally, the narcissist's fantasies are devoid of any performance anxiety or of the need to reciprocate in the sex act by pleasing his anonymous and robotic partners. Such imaginarium invariably leads to acts of self-stimulation, the ultimate manifestations of autoeroticism. Even when the narcissist incorporates his real-life partner in his fantasies, he is bound to treat her as a mere prop, a body to masturbate with, or in, or on.
And just want to pause there, and while I just want you to consider what he just said in the context of some of those images I described to you, where, first of all, the pizza is being sexualized. The pizza is being treated as some kind of symbol. And then we have numerous examples of a sort of a form of autoeroticism. And I gave you that one example there of a man masturbating over a piece of pizza. And another image of a man with a piece of pizza on top of his genitals. So this autoeroticism and using props is clearly prevalent in those images. Now, of course, many people will say, well, sure, but it's fine. It's totally legal. Get over it. And yet what Sam Vaknin is arguing here is that this ideation, this pattern, is a pattern which is associated with narcissism and psychopathy. I'll just continue now with that.
Object to be defiled in acts such as group sex, swinging, wife swapping, or outright sexual deviance, examples, urophilia or coprophilia. This crude and overt denigration of the intimate partner serves to render her a slut or a whore in his mind, the kind of woman with whom he can have lustful, emotion-free sex. He reserves his love, involvement, and intimacy to sexless, Madonna-type, sexually inaccessible, or unattainable women, for example, his mother. The somatic narcissist and psychopath's sexual promiscuity emerges from underlying problems in gender identity. Many of them are closet bisexuals, cross-dressers, and prone to paraphilias such as pedophilia, fetishism, and sexual sadism or masochism. Some of them try to act out their fantasies and get their partners to assume roles commensurate with their propensities and predilections, however outlandish, illegal, or extreme they may be. A useful test to tell apart healthy sexual fantasies from narcissistic ones is to pose the question, would you be equally satisfied having sex with a sophisticated, inflatable, robotic doll as with a flesh and blood partner? If the answer is yes, then in all likelihood we are dealing with a narcissist or a psychopath. Yet these glimpses into the thwarted and the demented rarely go down well with their significant others. The narcissist's self-exposure to his intimate partner often elicits reactions of horror, repulsion, and estrangement.
Okay, we'll leave it there. There are some very important points to consider from today's show. And to me, the most important one is to understand that on the one hand, we've got a perspective on sexual behavior, which many would call deviant, but a perspective that is actually to say that it's not wrong, it's just people's choice, and they should be able to do whatever they want. And I certainly defend people's right to do what they want as long as it doesn't involve hurting other people or non-consensual acts, whether with children or anyone who cannot voluntarily give their consent. But to simply leave it at that is not enough, because there is evidence in research, there is evidence from people's own experience, what Sam Vaknin is talking about, certainly what I've learned in my life, that there is a continuum, that there is a connection between this sort of narcissistic, psychopathic mentality and fetishistic, paraphilic mental states. And where does that leave us when we come back to looking at, say, Pizzagate, where many people would simply say, well, this is just banter. And indeed, it's quite possibly true that this is just gay banter. And this leads us back to the question of homosexuality, because what you have to understand is that there had been a debate. It was largely snuffed out in the last 20 or 30 years. But there had been a debate as to whether homosexuality itself is a form of paraphilia. And even though you won't get an official acknowledgement of that, but there have been one or two research papers, and I'll post a link to one of them, which of course comes out on the side of no, because it's against establishment perspective to say that. But there has been a little bit of research on it. People are still considering the question, because we just go back to the definition again of paraphilia. So just reading here. Paraphilia is the experience of intense sexual arousal to atypical objects, fetishes, situations, fantasies, behaviors, or individuals. Now, you know, in the gay context, you could certainly argue that being attracted to a man's bottom is atypical, that it's an atypical object. It's certainly not, a man's bottom is not what you'd call a normal biological way of expressing a sexual vector, right? I mean, certainly not to the point of actually engaging in full-on sexual intercourse. You know, and I know there are examples from anthropology, and I know people have studied animals and said, well, yes, animals occasionally engage in this. Yes, occasionally, but they never go very far with it, and it never involves full penetration. This is the difference, right? Because people who engage in sodomy really do engage in a full, you know, they go all the way, and it's much more than just a slight interest or amusement. It is actually something very intense that they get involved in. So it's perplexing, you know, and the images, and I haven't even talked about the content of the emails, but of course that's been studied a lot, and there's a lot of odd comments in the emails. There are these comments that are associating the pizza with some other form of activity. There was one email that said that that pizza and hot dogs had been flown in from Chicago to Washington, D.C., to the White House, which on the face of it seems totally implausible and, of course, would even be against White House policy. There are quite a number of other ones, which I just don't have them all to hand, but, you know, they're all out there, and InfoWars and various people are exploring some of this now. But I think that my discussion today really a little more theoretical, and trying to get you along the lines of understanding that that even if we can't prove that there's some sort of pedophilic activity going on here, we'd need to look into the psychopathology, the phenomenology, the ideation of the food fetishism that is clearly evident. And bear in mind that this is a group of people that are closely associated with the Democratic Party, a restaurant owned by a man where Obama and Hillary Clinton have visited, and this guy has campaigned for both Obama and Clinton. And this is the sort of milieu that this person mixes in. These are irrefutable facts. So I hope you found that interesting. Truth News Radio Australia, signing out. We'll be back next week. See you then, folks.